Welcome to the Brothers Murph Get Smarter weekly podcast in which two brothers, namely myself, Michael E. Murphy,
and myself, Nick Murphy,
attempt to become more knowledgeable about this big, beautiful world and all the things in it. And this week we are joined with one of our co-hosts, the indelible. Hope that's a good adjective.
Casey Brown.
And this week we're going to be talking about makeup.
Makeup.
Something that we know very little about. I know that's the whole theme of
the
podcast.
We as Mike and Nick as brothers. Casey speaks for herself and knows slightly more.
Fair marginally.
Enough. Yeah. Fair marginally. Enough.
The titular brothers know very little about actual makeup. I've done, you know, stage makeup.
Yeah.
And I don't even do that well. So we decided to bring in a professional. Okay. So we have a licensed esthetician, first of all, certified, put a stamp on it. Okay. Esthetician, she is a Los Angeles based makeup artist. All right. She works on film and does stuff with private clientele. She does weddings, prom, print work. She made me look good for my headshots. And she's just an all around dope gal. We have Rachel Stein with us
today. Yay! Hi. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you. Seriously, we need help here because. You know, I don't even know.
Mike's brows are looking bad.
They toe up.
Well, because I am a licensed esthetician, I can take care of those for you.
Okay, real quick. What did I say the word?
Esthetician.
What? S?
Do you want me to spell it?
Yes.
E-S-T-H-E-T-I-C-I-A-N.
Nope.
Esthetician.
Yeah, that's
it. That's such a hard word to say for some reason.
It's a spelling bee level word.
Yeah, Esthetician.
Have you ever seen that movie Akila and the Bee?
Yeah.
A particular massage movement called effleurage was one of her final words in the spelling bee. So estheticians know how to spell, guys.
All right. So, wow. And that's to do with skin?
Estheticians?
Yeah.
So basically the esthetician's domain is the skin. So as an esthetician, primarily you focus on the skin through like facials and stuff like that. But also, under the state of California, under my license, I can also do facial and body waxings as well. That's why I could take care of your brows, girl.
Get them schnizzes shaped.
Now, to be a certified like makeup artist in California, do you have to be an esthetician as well? Or is it just suggested? Because skin makeup tend to go well together.
Yeah, they definitely, you're very right. They do go hand in hand. To be a makeup artist, you do not need to be an esthetician. But personally, I find it very helpful.
Yeah, it seems.
Because there are certain ways that you learn how the skin works and behaves that allows you to have kind of an informed decision while making makeup artist decisions.
So can I ask, how did you get into this whole world and, you know, kind of a little bit more about how you got into being an esthetician and then and a makeup artist and what it's like doing that in LA?
Yeah, for sure. So I went to school. You have to go to a licensing program to become an esthetician. And in that program, you don't really learn like how to do a cat eye on someone or what it means to contour a face. But you're taught how to be sanitary and how not to, you know, cross contaminate stuff. So I was in my program. I was learning how to be clean about it, how to do it on other people as opposed to just doing makeup for myself. And I realized that after learning that, we were always given time to kind of work on each other, to practice our skills. I realized that I was gravitating more towards that inherently while I was still in school.
You mean just doing the makeup.
Yeah. And like I had, it was a really nice big compliment. People would hire me, like fellow students would hire me to do their makeup in Halloween while I was still in school, which was a really nice compliment. I'm like, thanks, guys. And it was something that I realized I was naturally going towards just doing makeup more exclusively. And I mean, I was already wearing like a power lip when I was six, seeing Phantom of the Opera for the first time. So
stop. What's a power lip?
Is it like a power tie?
Well, what do you think,
like,
it is,
you
Mike?
You get like a crisscross pattern, like you wore like a tie, and then people are intimidated by you.
God, I wish if that was
is
what
it like
businessmen get intimidated by your power lips. I assume you just pout them, like power lip,
like Jessica Rabbit.
Nick is pouting right now. We're on the radio, but Nick is pouting.
I like to do physical comedy jokes while on an audio podcast.
Good for radio.
So, okay, so what is it really?
A power lip, though not as cool as the definition that was just explained to us. A power lip is when you wear a color that's not a quote unquote traditional color. Now, I'll be the first to acknowledge that being a makeup artist, my idea and concept of what a traditional or like normal day color is very skewed.
Wait, Rachel, what color are your lips right now?
Oh, thank you for asking,
Nicholas. Do
you have Nicholas.
A power lip going on?
I may or may not have a power lip or a statement lip. Statement
What's
lip.
The difference?
Statement lip. Well, power brows are also what I'm wearing right now. I meant to say statement lip, my bad.
Statement lip, power brow. The point is that you're not just like, just some random walking through the door, you're kicking that door down.
So in answer to your question, Nicholas, I am wearing a Tiffany blue green lipstick right now.
Her lips look like Hawaii right now, you guys. Some tropicalness.
I'm hulaing. Okay, so you can't see, but
and you've got a power brow.
A power brow.
Which is like another just bold, or is that the shaping?
Yeah. So a power brow is when your brows are sharp enough, as a friend of mine says, to cut glass. Ooh, so they're very defined and they know what they're doing, even if I don't personally know at the moment.
Fine.
You mentioned a couple times, or at least one of you two has mentioned, like a makeup artist and a makeup designer. Is there a difference?
Yeah. Okay. So it's a kind of a very, very close line. A makeup artist is someone who does makeup. Okay. A designer is someone who, for like, say, a movie, will work with a director, work it with the script, understand what they want that.
Like the overall look?
Yeah,
kind of
like okay. What they want that character's aesthetic to be and what they want that aesthetic to achieve for that character.
Okay, cool.
And I have experience in both of those hats. So I can answer as a makeup artist or as a designer, whatever you guys
would
like.
So the designer's like. More concept, makeup artist is more practical?
More often than not. People will do the same, like both.
They'll wear both hats.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you're working in LA, and how? So you're obviously you've done a tons of weddings and personal shoots. So what's that like when you're with clients? Do they always ask for the same thing, or do you get to do fun stuff?
You ask, do I get a lot of the same requests for the same look in the?
Right.
The answer is a resounding yes, and I get so sad because I get so. Bored.
I can imagine.
Because, like I said earlier, my idea of what's a normal look is very skewed. It's very different than the normal, like every day. I'll wear Kelly Green lipstick to like the mall.
That's awesome.
So I have a certain idea of like different colors that can work and what I think could look really nice on someone's face. Because I've noticed after becoming a makeup artist. I will immediately look at someone's bone structure before I actually see them. Like Mike, you have fantastic cheekbones, especially with the way you have your beard. It looks like just really, really synchronized.
Get out of here with that.
Thank you. And Nick looks like a burn victim platypus.
No, actually.
But we can make it work.
I can contour
you. That's what contouring is for.
I can contour you to the gods, girl. Don't worry. No, but
going. I will turn you into my vision.
Oh my God! What if I could turn him into Vision from
down.
Marvel?
You probably could.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Down. That will be the first video podcast.
I have a question though.
Yeah.
Speaking of turning people into Vision.
Yeah.
You're rocking some turquoise lips, and it totally works. Is makeup really just a playground? Does a canvas blank, or is it like certain people can and cannot rock certain things? Does like can Nick and I have the same stuff, or does it matter on what you look like or your skin type? Or?
Yeah. Okay. So in terms of just like the playground, I'll go kind of at the first part. You asked like, is it a playground? The canvas can just, in my opinion, the canvas can just have fun. I think that anybody can and should try power brows, statement lips, all that fun stuff. And I think that people get too in their own heads like, oh, I can't rock that. Or, oh, I would look really weird with this color on my face. And I think that it really is kind of like an open playing field for just fun. Because the best part about makeup is it's not permanent and you can wipe it off if it doesn't work. But I say definitely try it.
Preach.
Now, you were asking about your faces. They are different because of just bone structure. Like,
yeah, Mike's is good looking.
Nick's no.
Nick's lack of bone structure.
Do you want a compliment, Nick? Wait, what did you say?
Face looks like a flower sack.
So
sorry.
No, I have a really good piece of information for you, Nicholas.
Yes.
You should see how he's preening, waiting for this moment right now.
Waiting for the compliments.
You have what I would like to call an oval face. And the oval face,
that's a good way to call
it, is
that
considered the most ideal, quote unquote, facial really? Shape. And whenever you're working with another,
it's ideal. Ladies, you hear that, ladies?
You hear that, ladies? I'm ideal.
So when I'm working with like maybe a round or an oblong face or like a square jaw face, what I'm trying to do with like contouring is achieve what your face does naturally.
Yeah, that's right.
But right. One can identify each other because I also have an oval face.
Man, who would have thought?
What up?
Who thought Nick's an ideal man?
Wait, someone told me the other day. What's my face shape?
You also have an oval face.
Ty, what's Mike's?
No, we're not answering
I want to
that.
Know Mike's.
Nope, we're tuning out. I'm
okay,
not gonna
see, I was. Well, someone told me the other day Mike looks like a yak that lost a fight with a dishwasher.
Rhombus.
I would discredit that person and whoever said that. Do not talk to them.
Well, you got good cheeks, yeah.
Yeah, no, you've got good cheeks, but I was going to say you have a more pronounced jaw than Nick does.
Damn it.
So he has a strong jaw.
That's right.
But because y'all are in the same family, I also see tendencies of oval in you as well. Thank God. So
tendencies of oval. Striving for the oval. Mike, from birth, he strove towards the oval his whole life. He couldn't reach it. He's a piece of shit.
All right, girls, you're both pretty.
This crazy train back to the makeup world.
Sure. So most people don't want to play around. They just kind of want... What is like the preferred look that you get all the time?
More often than not, I get clients, especially teenagers that are like going to prom or something. They want, and you'd expect at prom, they'd go crazy.
Right.
But I get more like browns, neutrals, and golds, which is also very common in weddings. It's still lovely. It does go with a lot of things, but I do it so often. It gets a little boring.
Yeah, just as a story, Rachel did my makeup for my birthday, and I knew that she had this all the time where people, you know, requested the same thing. So I just said, here's what I'm wearing. Do whatever you want. Cool. And I had like pink eyeshadow. Yeah. And
there was like a purple, like a magenta.
Very like strong pinks. And I loved it. So
yeah, it was really gorgeous. Really, really gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
Aww.
So when people go for browns and golds, is the idea that it's invisible? Do people
no.
want to look like they're not made up?
No, or? it's a neutral palette. Okay. So that like soft browns and taupes, for example, won't clash with like if you're wearing a really spectacularly colored gown. Like, if you have a gown that has more than one color, it would be really hard for some people's minds to, like, figure out, oh, this color would work even though it's kind of out there, quote unquote. Because in my mind, there's no color that's out there anymore.
Right.
There's a rainbow. Can I go on a tangent? There's a rainbow highlighter that literally looks like a unicorn is dancing on your face when you put it on. And you, like, swatch it. And then you put it on your face. And you have, like, six colors of highlighter. And I want it, and it's been sold out for like 6 months.
I was gonna say, get it so we can put it on ourselves.
Trust me, I've wanted it really, really long time.
A lot of people request normal stuff, which is fine. Has anyone, or in any of the film projects you've done, have you gotten to do any like really rad, gnarly makeup?
Yes, I have, which was a breath of fresh air. So I did a film project last year, and it was a murder mystery, and it was very aesthetically nostalgic. So it was like kind of like a throwback. So I got to do some really fun designing, but it was a murder mystery. So I also got to do some really, really cool effects with that. And so I got to order, I'd been lusting over a alcohol-based bruise palette, which is really great because you activate it with 90% alcohol. It doesn't come off unless you put this like solvent on it. And
Weird.
Then once it dries on your arm or wherever you're placing it, no matter how you agitate it, it won't rub off your skin unless you put that 90% alcohol on it. And that's what takes it off. So it makes it better than like Ben Nye bruise wheels, for example, that are cream based that can get smudged and then continuity becomes a problem.
Well, yeah. Or you constantly have to retouch.
Yeah. Especially because, there was a lot of movement around one of the bruise effects I had to do for this project. And if I had used a cream-based makeup, it would have, one, gotten on one of the costumes, which was irreplaceable and white. And not dry cleanable because it was painted on. So that would have been bad. And it also would have gotten all over the other actors' hands. So I have gotten the opportunity to have more fun in those like weirder genres of makeup.
That's awesome.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So hopefully there's more opportunities like that where you can just do some sort of like unicorn based sci-fi movie and everyone just looks super intense or
Need that highlighter though. Yeah. But I have to wait for that to come back in stock.
And actually on that note, I think we can find a way. I can't restock shelves magically, but it can help us raise some funds to get that rainbow highlighter for Nick and I, okay? And that's my awesome segue into talking about our Patreon page.
Ooh.
You guys can help support the show. If you like us and are feeling ever so generous and want to give us a dollar or $5, or as Nick always asks for, $10,000.
Truth.
One time or multiple time donation of
$10,000. Multiple time preferred.
Preferred per episode. Whatever you guys can do. If you like what we're doing and want us to keep on doing it, you can visit our Patreon. It's patreon.com/thebrothersmurph. You'll find our page there. There'll be exclusive content for our Patreon patrons, and all the money that we get goes right back into the show. It goes into getting better equipment, it gets better guests, and helps us like be able to feed Rachel.
There is no better guest. I'm just putting that out. Yeah.
Okay, I apologize. I didn't mean it like that. I meant continuing to get good guests and being able to treat you well and give you good things and better things.
Like unicorn highlighters.
Exactly. If we can have those as gift bags, like here's a unicorn highlighter, everyone's gonna be like, tight. That's the best podcast of all time. So if you guys want to help us achieve that goal.
No, keep going.
I don't even know where we were or where to pick up. If you'd like to help us give unicorn highlighters to all of us, then you can visit our Patreon page. That's a great way for you to help us continue to provide great content for you, and we thank you very much for that. So,
woo, good announcement, Lesser Oval Face.
I think I may have just created a divide in the Brothers Murph.
This is like the War of the Roses starting right now. I have a random question, but I've heard before, like in magazines and such, about like being warm toned and cool toned.
I heard worm toned. I was like, damn. I was like, what?
Dang, Nick, you got an open face, but you worm toned.
No, yeah. Like, worm tone is unknown. It's actually how zombies match their makeup. Oh. That's how they do it.
All right, so
worm tone. What does that mean, and how would you go about recognizing that in yourself?
Okay, so warm tone and cool tone, or neutral tone, talks about the undertones of your skin.
Oh.
So, like, the, for example, I'll use Mike as my example.
My brother.
He go ahead. Yo, you've got a power jaw, girl. Rock the jaw.
Stone jaw, dog.
He has a youthful rosy glee.
He's
to
very rosy, always has been.
His cheeks. So that would be red would be his undertone. And that would be something like, for example, remember when we worked on your headshots? Mm-hmm. I counteracted that so that we had like an even playing field so that everything photographed the same, as opposed to like your cheeks being red with your T-zone being more beige.
Gotcha.
Quick, does everyone know what T-zone means?
Know that one.
Okay.
I do, because I have to like sunblock the hell out of it.
Exactly. We've all been teenagers. Yeah. Okay, we've all had acne.
So that is kind of cool tone, warm tone, and neutral tone. Talks about the undertones of your skin and how colors interact with those tones.
Oh.
For example, I have a yellow undertone to my skin, so I can't wear certain colors because then they go orange on me, or they look different on me than, say, Casey, who doesn't have the same undertones that I do.
Interesting.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Fascinating. Okay. Thank you. Question. Boom. Tangent over.
So I guess I got one kind of question.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to be like the guy when I'm trying to go to the movies. I'm just like, babe, why take so long in the bathroom? But I do actually wonder, like, seriously, why does it take so long? Is it just like, what's the process of putting on makeup for a day or an evening out? I mean,
good
is
use
it just
the word
like,
process.
You throw a bunch of stuff in the air and like hope it lands on your face and then go outside?
I wish it was that easy.
Is there like a step-by-step thing?
Okay, I'll be the first to admit that my actual process is a lot more in-depth. Okay. Than most people. Like, I beat my face real heavily.
Yeah. I mean, between even Rachel and myself, it's really different. Yeah. Because
sure. Yeah, firstly, I can't make any generalizations.
Firstly, Rachel knows a million things more than I do about like what to do. But for me, like if like for going to work, I've gotten my routine down to about 15 minutes from start to finish.
That's amazing.
You know, that's like foundation to eyeshadow, all of it. And if I'm going out, it might take a little longer because maybe like false eyelashes are involved, which is a whole other demon to tackle. But, yeah. You know,
especially on yourself.
Yeah.
Doing that is hard to do on yourself.
So difficult. Oh, my God. But it's so I think it depends, but I think that
is there like a basic like five things that because again I don't want to generalize, yeah. But are there like most people on a daily basis are going to rock a certain amount of things?
Wait,
or
let's guess. Okay. Is there like a generally five?
Yeah,
like can you give us like a number and see if we can guess? So I think we're gonna
if you give us like a number, like these are like the general however many things that most women wear.
Nick, suck it, lipstick, boom, go.
Eyeliner,
mascara,
foundation.
It took my lip liner. Is that different?
The 80s, man. I'm gonna go blush.
Don't you mean rouge according to the rouge. Instagram video?
I've heard apparently. Bronzer.
You guys are just naming makeup that you know.
Isn't it bronzer just blush?
Oh God, no!
I'll go eyeshadow.
Treat like a frightened bear, dude. Don't move too much right now. You're upset. Smack the hornet's nest. All right.
Sorry, I thought it was the same. I thought it was just brown blush.
Okay, so we're throwing out a number.
Theoretically, yeah, okay. But the just
so are we? How are we doing?
Then? You're doing like, really,
that
really well.
Pretty good. Like,
I mean, that everything you just named, like, I would not go to work and wear blush and bronzer. Like,
oh, see, I would.
And that's why
your work is makeup.
Oh, that's fair. That is totally.
That's why
fair.
You don't get promotions.
The thing is, Rachel, you need to all day because you're advertising everywhere.
You're advertising yourself, your product.
That is exactly. True.
Casey puts on eyebrow stuff, though. She bought that today. Eyebrow stuff.
Eyebrow stuff.
Stuff for damn power brows.
Let's talk about brows for a minute, because I could go on brows for an entire podcast.
I'm sure.
So back long ago, which is a time I would like not to remember, I did not do brows, and I have no idea who hurt me in a past life that made me think not doing brows was an okay thing for as long as I did. I recently stumbled on some old pictures from high school, and Rachel had no brows, and I'm very sad about that. They have definitely had, like you kind of mentioned with Audrey Hepburn, it's definitely been more of a resurgence in the last several years. And I, as Casey well knows, am allergic to the world. I think also another reason why I gravitated towards makeup is because even from an early age when we all started getting acne, or I started wearing makeup, like I would get in trouble in middle school for wearing makeup. Like I started early. But I had to understand skincare. I had to understand what makeup brands I could wear without breaking literally into hives or having a bad reaction. And I did have a bad reaction to a brow product that made about 80% of my brows fall out. They have finally grown back now. But I saw pictures of when I graduated college and I was very alarmed. I realized far too late that they were gone. Because it was a progressive thing. And now I have found a brow product that doesn't make that happen. So yay.
Yeah.
And that would be the Goddess Anastasia Beverly Hills' beautiful brow product.
That's what I bought today.
Truth.
Right. She uses, if I correctly remember, the Brow Wiz in medium brown.
Taupe. Yeah.
Taupe. Okay. Medium brown is what I used to wear. So okay, as I was saying, and I'm like, that's wrong, Rachel.
Rachel just got discredited because she didn't know Casey's brow.
So
you can't even recognize a taupe from 10 feet
podcast
out.
Podcast over.
Okay,
podcast
but over. So,
girl, what's a contour palette? Then shut up.
So
a palette is something you use to paint. Bob Ross uses one.
Nick looks so smug right accidents. Now.
I know the palette is.
Okay, so they Nick and Mike named a lot of makeup items. Like what is, as a makeup artist, what would you make sure that your client walked away with in their makeup bag?
Yeah, in their makeup bag. Okay. Bag. Yeah. So
for everyday use,
a lot of the things that they listed are actually things that I would recommend having. Lip liner is still a thing.
What?
But sucky. You need to make sure you also use lipstick with it. So 50-50 on that.
I think a lip liner. I think like the dark, like way darker than your lips lip liner.
No.
That's a very specific look that is
horrible.
Yeah. You know. Well, okay, here's the thing. 90% of the time that you see me, I'm wearing a form of lip liner. Have you ever noticed it?
No.
Then I'm doing it right. Yay. Yeah. So credit back. Boom.
Thank God, because I was about to leave.
Nick got his compliment and is leaving.
I got an oval face. I'm gone.
He's going to take over my clients and then I'll be out of a job.
Hello, Nick. Oval face.
You should put that on your business card.
Yeah. Oval face.
It's just an oval.
That's
definitely Nick Murphy.
So if I was doing a client and it was just like bare bones, just very, very clean cut, I definitely want to make sure that their foundation is on, that their even skin tone has been taken care of in case they have any of those different undertones. I want everything to be universal. I would definitely make sure that they have a defined brow, because brows, eyes, and lips are what define the face. And if you don't have those working in harmony, that's when things start to go awry.
Sure.
But I always do let them know that their brows will not look as powerful as mine.
Just so you remember, when we leave here, the most powerful brows.
At dawn we ride.
Right, put me upon my face.
So I asked them, like, how, like, bleak do you want your brows? I hate that word, and I hate myself that I just used it. I meant to say on point, so there let's just forget that that ever
Please
came out.
Please explain what that means to me.
I
do not understand slang.
Okay, so which one? Can I explain the one that I like?
I need to know fleek.
Okay, yeah, fleek and on point are essentially synonymous with each other. They mean the same thing. I just think on point feels nicer to say. On point and fleek timeless. Essentially mean looking real good.
Okay.
Gotcha. So I would check in on their brows, see what kind of eye makeup they want done. So eyeshadow, eyeliner, mascara. And then, depending if they want to go into the world and underbelly of contouring, that's when bronzer and contour kits come into the game. And okay, they come to
next
play.
Level.
Yeah, because not everyone likes contouring. Not everyone does it as aggressively as some clients do. Because I get some people that are like, contour me to the gods, girl. I'm like, yes, we are friends.
So that's where you like make lines on your face and stuff?
Contouring is essentially bringing shape to the face. Because what foundation does is it creates that even canvas. So you add bronzer to the party because that brings color and dimension back to the face. And then essentially, like, very, very minimal definition, contouring utilizes angles to create the oval face.
That's why I don't wear contours.
Everyone can use contour. Sorry to burst your bubble,
sure.
Babe.
Boom. Bam.
So yeah, contouring allows you to bring structure even further to the face and give even more definition, utilizing both bone structure that may already inherently be there or faking it and creating that structure when it's not there.
Awesome. So, you know, Black Friday is coming up, Christmas is coming up. You know, if I was to go get my wonderful girlfriend makeup, which I think would be an intimidating proposition.
I'll take you, don't worry.
Thank you, please. Because we went into Sephora and I was just like, and that's why I just had to start acting out. I was wilding out on Instagram because I was like, I don't know what's going on. Information overload.
Sephora is intimidating.
Sure. Are there like certain brands that you would recommend or certain things if you were like to give a gift and you know this is going to be a pretty safe bet because I don't assume I could just go to any gas station and like rip the makeup off the wall and give it to somebody.
Well, yeah. What makeup are you buying at a gas station?
Emergency mascara? I don't know.
Everyone knows the three things are safe to get at gas stations. Makeup, sushi, and samosas.
So, like I said, I would take you, Mike, but not everyone has a Rachel or a makeup artist in their life. So, I definitely have some brands that I personally love. Do you guys want me to start with products that I really like or brands and then work backwards?
Oh, yeah. Products. Let's go to like, or no, like brands. Brands.
Brands.
Sorry, brands. Yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah, for sure.
I personally have been a very, very big customer of Urban Decay makeup for at least the last 10 years.
And this is like normal everyday makeup, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. For example, my foundation that I buy and wear is from Urban Decay, and I've been using it for the last 4 years.
Same.
Hey, twinsies. Our colors are slightly different. But yeah, so Urban Decay, the reason I like them as a brand is they have a really nice variety of like everyday stuff that you can wear, as well as they have an electric palette that is like neons. It's like green, yellow, pink, blue, white. It's great. So for anybody that's looking to get some makeup, Urban Decay is like a really good, solid brand on a lot of different products. And I swear by like four of their products. So if I were to say something, you like actually a single product that you could get someone and it would always work is a cult favorite of Urban Decay's, actually, and it's called the Naked One palette. And they have four Naked palettes, so Naked One, Two, Three, and Naked Smoky. And then they have two Naked Basics palettes. This just shows you how culty it is. It's a lot.
I don't even know what you just said.
So each of the palettes are eyeshadow. They're eyeshadow palettes.
Oh, okay. I was like, what are we talking about? Foundation?
Yeah, no. Okay. I should have been more clear.
No, you're good.
The Naked palette is 12 eyeshadows.
And Naked's like natural, like what generally skin tones kind of stuff?
Kind of. For example, the Naked One palette, which is one that I swear by. It's in my professional kit. It's what I use on clients. I use it on myself. I use it to put on my makeup today.
Use it on the
I do. I do it all. I use it all the time. It's browns, golds, and neutrals, my favorite. But it also has some deeper colors. There's like a silvery gray and a darker brown.
Okay.
And it's basically a spectrum of colors in browns. That's what the first one focuses on. It has inspired many companies to develop palettes similar to it. And a lot of companies have tried to mimic its versatility, but I haven't used any other ones because I love mine too much.
So it's the gold standard.
Yeah.
As the other woman in the room, I totally second what she's saying. That is a surefire gift for anybody who loves makeup and wants some more eyeshadow, that anyone could find colors they like in that palette.
Eyeshadow is kind of, at least, I mean, from what seems to me, like the one area that a lot of women and men feel comfortable kind of going a little more, not necessarily extreme, but a little more different. You know,
yeah.
Like not everyone wears statement lips like you, but it's like a lot of women, even in a professional setting, can afford to have some more out there eyeshadows and get away with it, you know, and not look unprofessional, not look and not be self-conscious about it or so.
Yeah.
You need a lot of confidence to walk out with like bright blue lips, you know. And so it's like, I think eyeshadow is a good way, at least with something like that, like getting a wide range, be like, oh, do I feel like going like a silvery gray? Because a lot of women, that's where they feel like they can actually kind of branch out a little bit.
Absolutely.
Particularly if they work in a professional area where you can't walk in with like blue lips, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean? Like,
yeah, no, you're definitely right with that. Eyeshadow, especially like even just within the Naked universe, with like the different
at nudist colonies, yeah.
Yeah, no, you'd believe
you gotta contour everything in a nudist colony.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's where contouring becomes like essential. Because that's the best part about palettes. They have complementary colors. So you have something to blend it, so you're not just wearing like a swath of orange on your eye. You have things to deepen it, to define it, sure. So that you have that room to play, as well as having complimentary things so that you don't feel like self-conscious about it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, to Rachel's point, back in, I mean, more like the 80s, you'd see, you know, like women with just like light blue all the way on their
eyelid. All up to the brow bone.
And we've moved now more towards, you know, like having a light brown and then a dark brown in the crease, or to create a crease. And so those palettes, I could not go and just buy single colors because I don't know how to match them. I need the palette because I'm sure. Too dumb to.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's why it's such a good thing as a gift, because it essentially does a lot of the hard work for you if you know that that's the palette you want.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you said Urban Decay Naked One is a pretty darn good
stocking stuffer. So my question is, because I love Urban Decay too, but are there any products or brands that you've heard of, like Naked, so well liked and well rated? Is there anything that's a little overrated or that you could maybe pass if you've seen in the makeup store and you're like, oh yeah, everyone talks about that, but it's actually kind of crappy?
Oh, so like my hit or misses kind of thing?
Yeah,
sure.
Well, see, I think it'd be unfair for me to answer that because a lot of the reason things miss for me is because of my own skin problems.
Okay, so
I'm trying to think if I've ever used something on a client that just did not live up to what it promised me to do.
For example, and this is nothing on this brand because lots of women love it, but I had a very bad experience with MAC foundation on my junior prom.
Not uncommon.
Because I went into the MAC place thinking I'm going to get some nice-ass makeup done for my junior prom. And I walked out. They apparently do not make colors that are as pale as my skin. And I had a defined line from my cheek to my chin to my neck. And it was two colors darker. And I won't really buy any MAC foundation because of that experience. But is that something that, like,
I'll be honest though, like, a lot of the reason I don't like MAC foundation for me personally is because it's a little bit too thick for my liking, because I like more of a liquidy foundation that I can build up its coverage. Because MAC is just like one swipe, you get in full coverage and you're done. But that also sounds like you may have had an inexperienced artist, because that should not have been that bad.
Yeah.
Probably. Okay. So
I'm trying to think of any of my misses.
Just it kind of depends on the person and their skin, mm-hmm. and a million other variables, and also fair. What you want.
A lot of stuff with makeup is very subjective to the person, like with the undertones, with what kind of skin type they've got.
Yeah.
That's why my experience is like that one brow product that made my eyebrows fall out. That would be a definite miss for me. Yeah, sure.
I was gonna ask two questions. The first one is, like, I guess it's probably hard to, but is there any kind of like labels on makeup that say, like, well, I guess I'm trying to think of like a way where, like, you would know before you put it on your face whether or not you'd have an allergy to it. Like,
well, there are definitely people that are allergic to certain ingredients. For example, an ingredient that I am horrifically allergic to is tea tree oil.
Okay.
Which is more found in like body care products or like hair products especially. So if you know the name of a particular ingredient,
just read labels.
Yeah. But a lot of it, at least with me, is a trial and error because it changes all the time.
Yeah, I mean, and that's also a little bit of a problem in the industry, is that there's not really standards for how, like, say, for example, if you wanted to have like a natural product, that's not a super regulated industry from what I understand.
At least not in the United States.
Yeah. No. In terms of, you know, what it can be listed, what's not listed. Do they have to? There's a lot of times like props trying to be passed to make them list things on the makeup itself. So you really have to kind of do some digging if you have bad, you know, like skin. You want to look, research it beforehand to make sure.
Yeah. No, agreed.
Interesting. All right. So my head is swimming, you guys. That was nuts. That was awesome. So much information, and I still feel like,
question, because the most common thing that I've noticed, and I don't want to generalize, but guys seem terrified of eyelash curlers.
Okay.
Yeah. Why are they so scary? I'm
trying to find a good way to bring it up. You know why it's scary?
Why?
Because I literally cannot watch women or men curl their eyelashes. I don't know what it is, but just the shape of the thing that does it. I don't know.
It's
just
a guillotine for your eyeball.
It just looks like some kind of medieval device to gouge people's eyes out. I don't know what it is. I can't look at it. Like, if someone's curling their eyelashes, I'm like,
let me curl your eyelashes.
Yeah, I was just gonna say.
No. If that thing was coming towards my eye, I would scream and probably cry. Like, one of the biggest tortures for me ever would be like Clockwork Orange, someone using those things to like open my eyes, and then people just curling their eyelashes in front of my face.
Can I just
would make me cry.
For people out there who are scared of eyelash curlers, they are life changing. They make you go from sleep to awake. Yeah. Eyelash curl, that's what they do. It's a very important step in the process.
Eyelashes in your face.
You don't
rip any of your eyelashes out. All it does is it makes them not in your eyes, so that I can't explain it like Rachel could, but it just makes you look awake, and it's very important, and I just want to make sure that people are okay with eyelash curlers.
Especially for people whose eyelashes grow downward, because it makes you look sleepy, and for me, personally, I can't wear fake lashes because I have a downward sloping eye, so if I put fake lashes on, I look real drunk woozy, even when I'm dead sober, because the lashes sit on my eyelashes and will look like I'm just kind of like, ooh.
Like the Muppet lady in the band. Yeah.
So an eyelash curler is one of the only things I have as a solace to kind of make my eyelashes pretty. And I promise they do not hurt.
Yes, they do.
They do not rip out your lashes. They are effective in so many ways.
I will let science do some talking here, and we'll wrap it up with this. I think maybe your eyebrows your eyelashes grow.
You don't even
downward.
Know what you're talking about.
I know, but I know that science says that camels have really long eyelashes and they grow down, and it protects their eyeballs in sandstorms.
Do you live in a sandstorm, huh?
I might. The Santa Ana's
getting Santa Ana wins.
Oh, if I was president, the first thing I would do would be bad eyelash growers. I don't even care. I don't even care. I'd do it.
Biggest threat to Homeland Security right there. Okay, so clearly we still don't know anything about makeup, you guys. I think we might have to do 10 more podcasts about this because I believe we only scratched the surface. And makeup's been around for a long, long time. So we will leave it at that for the moment. We have just opened Pandora's box. Her palette. Her naked palette.
Ever so Sephora's box.
Pandora's palette. We should brand that right now.
We've been plugging Sephora. They need to hook us up with some money. Seriously. I'm going to tweet them. I'll be like, give us a couple bucks, guys. You can afford it. Okay, so as we know by now, we're fond of learning and fond of trivia and here. And at the end of every podcast, we love to bring those two together in our most favorite segment, the pop quiz.
It's the pop quiz.
It's the pop quiz.
I really dig that jingle.
Do you have any trivia for us? We really like to hear trivia.
I have some trivia. Yes. So going back to the way beginning of this podcast, what's a statement lip, ladies?
Oh, are we like reviewing what we did?
Oh, well, that's one of our questions.
Okay. That's the...
it's where you're wearing like an unnatural or
oh yeah
a color on your lips. So something
and
you
kick in the door and you're like, look out, boys. I got stuff to say.
That is a very, that's how I'm going to define statement lips from now on.
There well done. Go.
Well
using
done.
Using bold colors.
Now, truth. While also smart. On the topic of lipsticks, sometimes makeup brands, especially more like grassroots makeup brands, like to name them like really weird names. So I want to get some of your best guesses of like the weirdest name you could think of for a lipstick to be named.
I want Casey to chime in on this too, yeah. Because I'm sure you can think of something weird.
I want to, because I've seen you wear a black lipstick, and I really hope it's called like the Black Death.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be cool.
Okay, I want like a makeup out. It's called Slappy.
Sloppy?
Slappy.
Or Slappy?
Slappy.
Like, you look sloppy, girl.
Girl, you look sloppy. It's meant to look like 3 a.m.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, Nick.
Bananas at sunset.
That's probably the most likely.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised because I have seen a yellow lipstick before and it was not called that. So missed opportunity there. Yep. Some of
that's
my going
millionaire.
To the black one that you were talking about. Black Death would have been really cool. It's actually called Weirdo, which is not right. Half bad. There's also one. This is from a makeup brand called Jeffree Star Cosmetics. He has one called Androgyny, and he as cool. as a person is a very androgynous figure. So I thought that was a really cool name. Some other really bizarre names that I personally have in my own arsenal are Blue Velvet, Weirdo, which I have. There's a white one that I use as a mixing medium for a lot of other colors called Drug Lord. And I have a green one from them called Mistletoe, which was from their Christmas collection last year. But I feel really bad using it because it was a limited edition and I don't want it to go away and they don't make it anymore. So I'm already bemoaning that fact.
I bet. Fun fact about Nick, for a long time, I thought androgynous was a shape. I thought it's like how you would describe like amoebas, you know?
I
thought it was like a squiggly circle.
I don't, like, I'm not mad at
not
that.
Not like recently. It's not like I found this out last week, but just let you know, it just sounded like a shame.
Guys, it was last week. He just doesn't want to say it.
That's true.
No, I'm not mad at that as a thing. I get that.
Just proves that this podcast is important.
Well, yeah, in a lot of different ways.
We're saving lives here.
And then last question.
Yes.
What is the name of the brand of Casey and my brow products?
Oh, good one.
Did we mention this at all?
Yeah. Oh, yes, we did.
Shit. Is this
I called her a goddess. Not only did we mention it, I deified her.
God, wait, I can give you a hint if it takes you too long.
Yeah.
Oh, I know the hint.
It's already taking too long.
I know the hint.
It's going to be a song hint. It's, have you heard there's a rumor in St. Petersburg? Have you heard what they're singing on the streets? That's your hint.
Anastasia?
Yep. Anastasia. Yep.
Anastasia Beverly Hills, girl.
Oh, okay.
St. Petersburg? Okay. I'm going by Brows by Putin.
No.
eyebrows via Putin. They're really, really shiny.
So they're very strong as they come in, as they can stop them.
They go straight up and straight back down. Upward, the vertical.
Mike got that one. Okay. Point to Mike.
Brows by Anastasia.
Yas.
Anastasia.
Yas Queen.
Mm-hmm. Yas Queen. If you want to get the Yas Queen, you got to get Anastasia.
Are you telling me Putin is not Anastasia?
I don't think anyone's proven. Have they ever been in the same room?
Have they ever been in the same state together? Don't think so. Nailed it.
Oh, God. Well, guys, that was a ton of fun. Power to you, ladies, man.
Thank you.
You guys make the world go around. We all know. But, I mean, you guys just could have some serious fun with your face.
And not to mention having to carry it all around with you all day for touch-ups.
Seriously. Well, hey, man, but you guys look great, and it's awesome. And if it gives you that sense of power and stuff. We wear a power tie. You got a power brow. And it's all awesome.
It's how my friends know that I trust them if I let them see me without my brows on. That's when they know that we're really friends.
I've seen you without makeup on. So.
Yeah. Yo.
Yeah. Boom. True friends right there. So that's going to wrap it up, you guys, for this very brief introduction into the world of makeup. Rachel, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for being very patient with us.
Nick's here, too.
Yeah, I know. We created a monster, and I promise we won't badger.
Have you seen this face? It's a perfect ellipse. It's like Neptune going around the sun.
What have I done?
Oh, my God.
I know. We're going to have to settle him down.
So is it now the brother's oval? Something like that?
The brother oval and the other one.
Oh, wow.
Featuring Michael. For now.
Oh, thank you so much, Rach. And just one more time, you can find her at Rachel Stein Beauty on Facebook and Instagram, and that's Rachel the right way, RACHAEL. Boom. Rachel Stein Beauty. To see all of her awesome work. And you can find us at
the Brothers Murph on Instagram, on Facebook, at Brothers Murph on Twitter. You want to tweet at us.
The Brothers Murph on Pinterest. It's my page. I love it.
Casey puts together some dope boards, you guys. Seriously, they're so awesome. There's some super fun things of Jackie Chan already and King Arthur and all the podcasts that we have out there. There will always be boards specific to our podcast.
There's a picture of Jackie Chan cuddling his golden retriever puppies.
So what more could you need in this world?
Nothing.
Oh, my God. So if you guys would like to follow us on all those social medias, we have a lot of extra content that we do throughout the week and really fun things. And Casey is reminding me, which is very important, to leave us a review on iTunes, you guys. It's one of the best ways we can know how we're doing. You can go on to iTunes if you use that and leave us a review. 5 stars if you think we're worth it. 1 if you really hate us. But thanks for listening anyway.
But still leave a review. So
still leave a review. The point is we want to know how we're doing and how we can be better. So if you could leave us a review, we'd much appreciate that. You can always check out the Patreon as well. And for now.
You can also reach me on Twitter at Ovalface Elite.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
At No Spheres Here, Oval Pachozel. Okay.
Don't forget about your power jaw there, Mike.
I know.
He's got a good jaw. Okay. Continue, Mike. Sorry.
just can't get out of this damn podcast. One more mention the oval face. So for now, I have been Michael D. Murphy.
I'm Oval McOvalson.
Casey Brown.
And I'm Rachel Stein, the creator of Oval McOvalson.
Thank you for that. And we will, as always, implore you guys to stay curious.